We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white. You got to drink blue and light. Before we get started, guys, let me take care of a little Ask Ross business. This week, I am going to remember the winner for the Ask Ross segment was Brad from Palmyra. Brad will be getting a hold of you so we can get your mailing address and send you a Keystone Sports Network polo. One other carryover from the Ask Ross segment, Bob, there was a question. It was actually for you. We talked about it on Ask Ross, but the question... This is Tom from Tunkhannock. He wanted to know, on your top 25 important players list, how is it that you didn't have a starter in Jaquan Brisker, but you had backup linebackers on your list?
Well, I mean, it's a fair question because I did use a lot of guys. I did mention backups. I mean, and I just think you know, the way that Penn State on defense plays at some positions – you see a lot of backups playing key roles and will play key roles moving forward. I didn't think that the safety group was particularly on, if you had to rank the position groups on the Penn State team, I don't know that I would have safety in the top five or six. I think there's some deeper groups. I think there are some second team players at some of these deeper groups that'll play bigger roles and more important roles, maybe than some starting safeties. And I think they need more competition at the safety group. They struggled in pass coverage down the stretch. They missed some tackles. There isn't a lot of great history about JUCO players at Penn State turning into really good players. I hope Jaquan Brisker proves me wrong, but I think he'll face some competition from guys like Tyler Rudolph and maybe some of the younger guys. I think that both he and Lamont Wade can get a lot better. I hope they do get better, but I just thought there were some reserves that are a little bit more promising maybe than some of the safeties.
All right, Tom from Tunkhannock, I hope that answers your question. Let's quickly get into our list. We're talking about the redshirt freshmen, often a forgotten group. And I'm going to start with you, Andy, on this one. Next on our list is Smith Vilbert. He's a three-star defensive end. He came in at, was listed at 250, and he's currently listed at 266. Andy, what are your thoughts on Smith Vilbert?
Yeah, I think he projects as a defensive end. He's in a, there's two things. One, he's in a crowded house, right? There at the defensive end, you've got Shaka Toney, Shane Simmons, Jason Oway, Adisa Isaac. You know, they're all, you know, entrenched in front of him, and he's a redshirt freshman. He is a three-star for a reason. At that position, I think, at the defensive end, the way Penn State's worked it the last 3 years, as you've watched these kids develop, the players that have gotten on the field first did something that showed the coaching staff that they had started to excel at something that they could make an impact at. In other words, the one facet of the game that they were probably really already really good at, they advanced to a point that got them on the field. And that's what you're looking for in this. We haven't seen the kid, but I just think, If he plays at times this year, it's because he did a little something that he already did well and became very good at it to get a few snaps. But I just think the defensive end already has enough depth and talent that you're not looking at a redshirt freshman this year.
Bob, anything to add to that?
I think Andy is pretty spot on. You look at him and, you know, you look at the fact that he's gotten bigger. He's got some size. I think he's more of a projection. You know, Penn State, I would say that Penn State hasn't necessarily been great at developing some jersey prospects recently, but that's probably been on the offensive side of the ball. You know, Penn State wasn't the only major school that was interested in this guy. You know, he was pursued by Florida and Oregon and some other schools, Baylor. But I think that he's definitely, you know, when you look at 2020, I don't know that they have necessarily high expectations for them unless some players get hurt. I will say this, though, you know, Shaka Toney, this is going to be his last year. It's going to be Shane Simmons' last year. Depending on, you know, what Jason Owe does, I would think even if he has a good year, he's coming back. But if you're going to play four defensive ends every year, they're going to need some backups in 2021, and maybe he's one.
Gotcha. All right. Next one up, and this one's a real interesting one, and I'm going to start with you, Bob. And this is Joseph Darkwa from Germany, listed as a defensive tackle. 6'5", 287 is how he's listed. And coming from Germany, you got to think that he's a project.
Yeah, I think that James Franklin and you know, when Sean Spencer was here, he kind of saw him and tried to develop him last year. They both basically came out and said, look, the kid's raw. I don't think there was any timetable for him other than maybe his third or fourth year. I'm sure there's some athletic things that they like, but it's really hard, I think, to project kids that are playing overseas in Germany. One thing I'll say is I just wonder in the back of Penn State's mind if they, you know, they're hopeful they'll get something out of him later in his career, but, you know, they're casting the line overseas and hopefully trying to establish a presence. You know, maybe 10 years ago, recruiting the country of Canada wasn't really a popular thing. And now more and more schools are starting to do that, and they're getting to see more better and better players, much like, you know, Theo Johnson. I just wonder if Penn State, as they continue to expand their recruiting footprint, is starting to think a little bit about establishing a presence, you know, in countries where there aren't a lot of good football players, but, you know, there might be one or two every class. And I think Penn State wants to be in on them, and I think this is a way to do it.
Yeah. The thing about him is that always was interesting, right? When we reviewed his film and when you looked at him and you thought, okay, he's playing in Germany, and having lived there, I'm like, yeah, he's not even playing Johnny Hedge Fund players. Like, as Ross would say, like, it is far below the Johnny Hedge Fund league in terms of competition and everything. But in order to use a scholarship, right, there has to be something that grabbed not only just, you know, at the time it was probably Sean Spencer, but you can't reel in a recruit like that and James Franklin not be like, yeah, no, I'm okay with that. You know what I mean? There has to be something, but it's clearly at the defensive tackle position, you have to try so many different things, I think, because the position's evolving so much, and it's becoming more about depth at times than it is about that one guy. And I think they're just looking at, like Bob said, the third or fourth year, and that something struck them enough to give a scholarship. I find this kid fascinating for that reason, and I'm certainly going to follow him all the way through, because I'm thinking, you just don't throw a scholarship away, obviously, right? But what was it that got them to that point?
Yeah, you got to just imagine someone, they saw this kid, and again, the number 6'5", 287, and just said, you know, it's a projection. They've got to look at him and say, what would he have been like if he had been playing organized football for several years against real competition? And we can present that at Penn State. So he's not going to play as a true freshman. He's probably not going to play as a redshirt freshman. This is a guy that we're saying we trust ourselves as a coaching staff and a training staff to have this guy ready. Hopefully in 3 years down the line, he could help you out, even if he's just part of that defensive tackle rotation, because we know along the line they do like to rotate people. All right, let's go back to Andy and start on this one. This one should be interesting. Akeem Beeman. He's a four-star recruit, defensive tackle out of Virginia, currently listed at 6'3", 288. And what I found interesting is his number, what he was listed at, his weight was 265 is what he was listed at when he first came to Penn State. So we've got a 265 to 288 change. What are your thoughts on him, Andy?
Yeah, so at the defensive tackle position, it's – so, you know, you've got Antonio Shelton and PJ Musfer, right? Who's your three technique? Who's your one technique guy? Who's inside? It's kind of figuring that out. I think Hakeem Beamon is a three technique guy, and I think I see him in 2020 as a guy who could be part of the rotation, right? If you look, Fred Hansard, you kind of can play Fred Hansard at a little bit of either, or it could be both. Damian Barber from Harrisburg, been around for a while, never made it onto the field on a consistent basis. Judge Culpepper, right? He's part of that mix. But I can see Hakeem Beamon with the skill set that he has. I can see him backing up Mustafer. I don't think it's a stretch to see him as a backup at that position. I mean, I like him a lot. There's other options for Penn State if they develop and want to look at him. But I really, really see this guy as one of those six or seven or eight guys in this redshirt freshman class who I think has a legitimate chance to play some snaps whenever we play this season.
How about you, Bob? Do you think he potentially could play this year in his redshirt freshman season?
I think he could. I think what's most notable is when you look at the 2020 roster, and you guys referenced the fact that he gained 23 pounds. You know, when he was recruited, a lot of people envisioned him as a big defensive end. And I think that he's grown into a defensive tackle, and I think that's what Penn State saw when they evaluated him. I just think that they need to be right on either Joseph or Hakeem sooner rather than later. There's another defensive tackle I think we're going to talk about a little bit later in this series, but you know, there is a world in which both PJ Mustafer and Antonio Shelton are gone after this year if Mustafer has a big year as a third year junior. And then what is Penn State going to do inside? I think Beamon is definitely a guy who was recruited by Carolina. He was recruited a little bit by Alabama that Penn State really likes. And I think Andy's right about him being a three technique. He's an athlete, a big athlete, and that's probably where he fits best. But I think Penn State really needs to find some defensive tackles that are going to be part of the future. Because some of those names you mentioned, Ashe, behind the starters, they haven't exactly caught fire yet either. And defensive tackle is important to stopping the run, which Penn State's been good at. This is one of the more interesting guys, I think, of the redshirt group. And I would just add one more thing before we close. He did come out of the state of Virginia, and Penn State's pretty good for the most part at identifying good prospects in Virginia.
All right, that's going to have to be it for this day's edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Bob. Next week, we are going to continue this series on the redshirt freshman. Remember, download the app Keystone Sports to get all of our information. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.
The sports world has been put on hold, including the blue-white spring game. This is as disappointing at GoPSURV.com as it is to all of you. If you made GoPSURV reservations for the spring game, contact Mark at 800-519-8467. And for those who've entered the free RV raffle through the KSN app, GoPSURV has announced that they will offer an RV for their first regular season game. If you've already entered, your entry will go towards that raffle. We look forward to seeing you in the fall.
So, what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma. Or the crisp, clean finish. That all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Everyone knows AAA gives you peace of mind when you're out on the road. But did you know you get other perks as well? Besides providing reliable roadside service for over 100 years, AAA also provides great discounts on entertainment, prescriptions, rental cars, hotels, insurance, and so much more. Take advantage of everything AAA has to offer. Purchase, renew, or upgrade your membership today at AAA.com.